Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Jesus had his last encounter with the apostles on the Mount Olivet and gave them instructions to be his witnesses. Then Jesus ascended into heaven and promised to return one day. What did the apostles do after that? We are told in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Having watched the ascension of Jesus on the Mount Olivet, the apostles returned to Jerusalem, a distance of a Sabbath day's journey, just over half a mile. Pious Jews were expected to travel no further than that on a Sabbath. The apostles returned to the place they used to meet before and went up to the upper room. This possibly was the venue where Jesus had celebrated the Passover and instituted Holy Supper on Tuesday evening of Holy Week. There in Jerusalem, the apostles should wait for the fulfillment of the promise given by Jesus, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Interesting to note that the writer of Acts carefully spells out each name of the apostles Jesus had chosen and appointed during his ministry. Let us consider a few details of each of the apostles. Peter. He is the first to appear on the list. Peter's original name was Simon, a fisherman by trade. Jesus named him Peter, which means rock. He was the brother of Andrew. The first 12 chapters of the book of Acts report the ministry of Peter. He wrote two of the letters which are part of the New Testament. Although Peter had a spirit of leadership and a powerful personality, there is no indication in the New Testament that Peter became the first pope. It is strongly believed that he was crucified with his head pointing to the ground. John was another of the apostles. John was the brother of James, both fishermen by trade, as Peter and Andrew were. On one occasion, Jesus referred to John and his brother James as sons of thunder. John is also known as the one Jesus loved. He wrote the gospel which bears his name. He also wrote three letters and the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. John served the church in Jerusalem for many years and then he moved to work at Ephesus. It is believed that he reached advanced age. Following, the apostle James is mentioned. He was the brother of John. He, along with three other apostles, witnessed the miracle of the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus and the transfiguration of Jesus. It seems that after Pentecost, James remained in Jerusalem and worked as a missionary among the Jews. James was martyred in the year 44 AD. It is very likely that he was the first of the apostles to suffer martyrdom. Andrew is the next name to appear on the list of the apostles. He was the brother of Peter. Andrew played an important role in Peter's life. He took the good news to Peter, saying, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Andrew, like some of the other apostles, is not mentioned any further in the New Testament, so we don't know any details about his work. Tradition tells that James worked as Christ's ambassador in Asia Minor, nowadays Turkey, and in Greece. Philip is the fifth name on the list of the apostles. In his childhood, he could have been a friend of Peter and Andrew. He was invited by Jesus to follow him, and he did. Interestingly, Philip thought immediately of his friend Nathanael and led him to Jesus. The evangelist John speaks in his gospel several times of Philip. On certain occasions, Philip established the link between the disciples of Jesus and people outside the circle of disciples. Tradition reports that Philip was martyred in the ancient Greek city of Hierapolis. The next one to be met on the list of the apostles is Thomas. He was also known by the name Didymus, which means twin. Thomas became known as the skeptic apostle. The occasion that gave this man the fame of doubting Thomas is the following. On the first Easter Sunday, the companions told Thomas that the risen Lord Jesus had appeared to them while Thomas was away. Thomas was very reluctant to believe and said, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." A week later, the risen Lord appeared to Thomas and gave proof of his resurrection. Bartholomew is the next apostle on the list. He might be the same man known in the Gospel of John by the name Nathanael. Bartholomew was led to Jesus by his friend Philip. Once Nathanael was face to face with Jesus, he made an extraordinary confession. He said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Little is known about the work of this apostle. The next man to meet is Matthew, also known as Levi. He was a publican and tax collector by trade. He worked as an officer for the Roman government. For this reason, and for a common practice of tax collectors to charge more than citizens owed, they were despised by the Jews. But this man, famous as a public sinner, was called by Jesus to become an apostle. Matthew's life was turned around and commissioned by Jesus to be a messenger of the good news that Jesus came to seek and to save sinners. Matthew wrote the gospel that bears his name. James, the son of Alphaeus, is another of the apostles. To distinguish this James from his colleague with the same name, he is called James, the son of Alphaeus. In the Gospel of Mark, he is described as James the Younger. Nothing is recorded in the New Testament about the apostolic work of James. Then Simon the Zealot is introduced. He probably belonged to the party of Zealots, a Jewish revolutionary group violently opposed to Roman rule over Palestine. We don't know to what extent Simon took part in the party before Jesus commissioned him as an apostle. As it is the case of some of the other apostles, the New Testament keeps silence on Simon's apostolic activity. Tradition tells that James proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ in Egypt and northern Africa, and from there he went to the British Isles, where he was martyred. Interesting. The last name on the list of the apostles is Judas, the son of James. He is also known as Judas Thaddeus. To distinguish this Judas from the Judas who betrayed Jesus, the evangelist John speaks of him as Judas, not Iscariot. Judas, the son of James, could have been the author of the letter of Jude. The complete number of apostles is 12. So far we have mentioned 11. The 12th is Judas Iscariot. We shall speak of him in a moment. Jesus called, prepared, and sent those men, most of them of humble background, to proclaim to the world the greatest news of all, that is, in Jesus Christ there is salvation for sinners. The apostles carried out their work. The word of God continued to increase and eventually reached us. Right now, as we are reflecting on Scripture and benefiting from it, the work of the apostles continues to bear fruit. The 11 apostles gathered together in Jerusalem. The author of Acts makes the following note: all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. The expression "with one accord" reminds harmony in music. Different notes played together, which produce an accord. Because the early Christians were close to Christ, there was a natural unity that has since been tragically fractured. Constant prayer was part of their life too. With undivided attention, their hearts and minds were open to receive the promised Spirit. Unity in the early Christian church is mentioned several times later in the book of Acts. The 11 apostles were not the only ones who gathered together and prayed. There were also women, particularly Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. The women possibly were the wives of the apostles and others who used to minister to Jesus while he was carrying out his work. This is the last time Mary, the mother of Jesus, is mentioned in the New Testament. Jesus' brothers are mentioned somewhere else in the Gospels. These brothers would include James, probably the author of the letter of James, who later became a distinguished leader in the Church of Jerusalem, and Jude, who could have been the author of the letter of Jude.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere, and newcomers are always welcome.
In the sequence of events, we are told about the election of the man who would replace the apostle Judas Iscariot because he took his life. We read in Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 26. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who had accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. and they put forward two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with 11 apostles. During the 50 days between Easter and Pentecost, Peter appears as a leader among the apostles and other Christians. After all, someone needed to take the lead of the group of Christians gathered in Jerusalem. The group was considerably big, about 120 people. Early followers of Jesus had come to join the group of apostles and others. Interestingly, the Jewish law required the presence of 120 people to elect leaders in the community. This is important for what follows. At this point in time, the gathering did not take place any longer in the same room in Jerusalem they used to meet earlier. It would not have been big enough. They must have gathered in a bigger room. Peter is the leader, but he is not the boss who gives orders and imposes his ideas. He addresses the people, calling them brothers, brothers in the faith. Peter places himself as a fellow member of the family of faith. Peter knew the Old Testament and recalled passages which refer to Judas and had to be fulfilled. He makes the comment that Judas became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. Sadly, Judas did that, delivering his master in the hands of enemies by betrayal. Initially, Judas was numbered among the apostles. He was chosen by Jesus like the others. He had the same opportunities to learn from Jesus and to be prepared for the apostleship as the others did. Unfortunately, he neglected his position. He despised Jesus' compassion at least twice at crucial moments in his life. Judas abandoned his master and betrayed him. The Apostle Peter speaks about the sad end of Judas. He got money for betraying innocent blood, but filled with remorse, Judas wanted to return the money to the priests. The deal did not work out. Judas threw the money in the temple, and it was used to purchase the potter's field. The field bought with the money of betrayal was called Akeldama in the Aramaic language, which means field of blood. Overtaken by despair, Judas hung himself. He fell headlong, we are told. The rope Judas hanged himself with possibly broke, causing his already decaying corpse, after some time exposed, to fall and rupture. What a sad end. The Old Testament promises have been fulfilled. The news of the tragic death of Judas spread throughout Jerusalem. May God guard us never to despair to the point of considering to take our life. After all, in spite of pain, illness, tragedy, or other very hard circumstances in life, in Jesus Christ there is always help, forgiveness, and hope. Judas left a vacancy, and for this reason another man should replace him. Who would take his place? How should a new apostle be appointed? The early church decided for a democratic method involving the members of the Christian community. An assembly was held, and the criteria were clearly spelled out of who could be a candidate. The candidate must fulfill three qualifications. First, he must have been a companion of the apostles. Second, he must have been a witness of Jesus' work from the baptism of John till Jesus' ascension into heaven. Third, he must have been a witness of Jesus' resurrection. According to these criteria, the names of two candidates were put forward. Joseph, called Barsabbas, which means son of the Sabbath, and Matthias. No further details are known about these two men. Once more, it should be stressed that the candidates were put forward by the congregation. The 11 apostles could simply have nominated candidates and chosen an apostle. They did not do that. Instead, they involved and gave the congregation the right to nominate. This is how it should be till this day. The church is the body of Christ made up of all the members. Not only clergy, but clergy and laity are expected to work together and make decisions together in a democratic and respectful way. Once the congregation had the candidates, the assembly prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." Prayer exercised a very significant role in the life of the church. Those Christians commended the issue to the Lord and sought His will in such an important matter as choosing an apostle. The apostles had been chosen directly by Christ Himself. Now, under the Lord's guidance, an apostle was about to be chosen to replace Judas. The method through which an apostle was chosen was by casting lots. In doing so, the community of believers placed the matter in God's care, allowing Him to do the right choice. The use of rocks or sticks to designate the choice was common in Old Testament times. The names of the candidates were written on the white rocks, one name on each. The rocks were put into a clay jar. The jar was shaken till one of the rocks leaped out, and that was the chosen one. This method was used to determine God's will. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, it is said, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." The process required faith that God would indeed guide the choice, as well as willingness to abide by the choice as being from God. Such method would exclude favoritism. This event in Acts of choosing an apostle through casting lots is the last occasion mentioned in the Bible when this method was used. After Pentecost, there is no other record. The lot fell on Matthias. He was the one chosen by the Lord to replace Judas to complete the original number 12. The apostles did their job, generally speaking, under adverse circumstances, and the word of God continued to increase. We are thankful for the work of the apostles. Today we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ by a number of channels, including this radio station, Lutheran Radio UK. We pray the gospel may work mightily in your life.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.